1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then our text this afternoon, which is verses 1 through 11 of chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So far, God's word. Let's come now and bring this word before him and ask him for a blessing on it and its explanation. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we have here some teaching about what the day of judgment is going to be like. We've just sung about how it's a day of wonders. Lord, we pray that you may encourage our hearts this afternoon, challenge our hearts. If we are looking to the day of judgment with dread, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that your word would speak to us now. Indeed, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this afternoon, we pray, to our rock and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are you most afraid of? It's a rhetorical question for the moment. What are you most afraid of? Here are 10 of the most common phobias, the most common fears that people have. The first one is a well-known one, social phobia, the fear of social interaction. Agoraphobia. Who knows what agoraphobia is? Not surprises, no?
Spiders.
Spiders, no, it's not. It's wide open spaces is agoraphobia. Acrophobia. Acro, think acro. It's a fear of heights. Pteromyrhanophobia. I won't say that again. Yeah? Pteromyrhanophobia. That is a phobia that Mr. De Boer definitely does not have. Well, at least I hope he doesn't. It's a fear of flying. Claustrophobia. Tight spaces. Entomophobia.
Insects,
very good. Ophidiophobia. One for our Australian friends. No Australians here this evening. A fear of snakes. Cynophobia. No, testing the brain tonight, aren't we? Is a fear of dogs. Astrophobia is a fear of storms. And one that I pick is probably one for a number of us here. Trypanophobia, which is a fear of injections. Well, the Thessalonians also had a phobia, a fear. They were worried about the day of the Lord, the day of coming judgment. In chapter 4, verse 13, Paul addresses one of their fears. They were worried about what would happen to people who died before the Lord returned. Are they going to be forgotten about? Was it just bad timing that they died before Jesus returned? You see, in those days, there was a belief, and it was a belief that was held in the Thessalonian church, and there's even some indication in Scripture that Paul was of the opinion that Jesus was going to return during most people's lifetime. And so if you had died before Jesus returned, what was going to happen to you? And Paul says in verses 13 through 18 that there's nothing to worry about. If you die, you will be resurrected when Jesus returns. But then in chapter 5, verse 1, there's another question. What about those of us who are in Jesus Christ who are living? Do we need to worry about when Jesus returns? How can we be sure that we're going to be okay when Jesus returns in judgment? And it's that Paul addresses in our passage this afternoon. This afternoon we're going to see that as Christians, we need not fear the day of the Lord. We need not fear the day of the Lord. And the first thing we're going to see is that we shouldn't be surprised. That's in verses 1 and 2. Paul says there in verse 1 and 2, he says to them, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have everything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Paul, in his teaching to the Thessalonians prior to this, had reminded them about the biblical concept, the gospel concept, that Jesus would return like a thief in the night. Notice that in true pastor fashion, he says, "I don't need to write anything to you." And then he writes something to them, but that's just good pastor practice. He reminds them that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And he says, you shouldn't be surprised when the Lord returns. Again, the idea there was that the Lord would return during their lifetime. And this is where the burglar analogy breaks down. The idea of a burglar coming is you should be don't know when he's going to come. And if a burglar comes to your house, you're going to be surprised, aren't you? But while the burglar, we don't know when Jesus will return, Paul is at pains to point out that it shouldn't surprise us. We should be waiting for it. We should be welcoming it. And in our passage, he contrasts what the believer should do and the reality for the unbeliever. For the unbeliever, the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night is going to be a nasty surprise. And here in verse 3, he picks up on what is mostly likely a Roman term. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about peace and security, but he's probably tapping into here the Roman idea of peace at that time. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. It wasn't really much of a peace at that time. The Romans ruled with an iron fist, but it did mean that there was relative security. It meant that generally on the main highways you could travel securely. And it gave people a false sense of security. The Romans are looking after us. We can eat, drink, and be merry. Kind of like the world today. Peace. Security. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. But Paul wants to remind both believers and unbelievers that we cannot stop the Lord from coming. And for those who don't believe, it will be a terrible time and it'll be anything but peace and security. For those who don't believe, it'll be sudden destruction. Verse 3. "It will come upon them as labor pains, come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Now, ladies, without going into any descriptions, when your baby was just about to come, could you stop the baby from coming? I take it that's a no. Would you want to have stopped the baby from coming? No. And once that baby was born, could you put the baby back? Even if you'd want to. And that's the picture that Paul has here. You can't stop the Lord from coming. Who needs to worry about the day of the Lord? Those who belong to the darkness. But Paul says that's not you in verse 4. That's not who you are. You don't need to worry. Those who belong to the darkness, those who are children of the darkness, are the ones that need to worry. But you don't. You are children of the light. You are children of the day. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are safe. And then he goes on to speak about what they need to be doing in the meantime, what we need to be doing. The Thessalonians shouldn't be surprised if the Lord had returned in their lifetime. We shouldn't be surprised. But what shall we do while we are waiting? And that's what Paul goes on to speak about in our second and third points this afternoon. Our second point is that we should be prepared. Imagine that you're getting visitors for this holiday period. And just imagine, work with me for a moment, that it's before the days of cell phones. Before the days of Find My iPhone. You've got visitors coming and they say, well, we're going to be there sometime on Wednesday morning. What are you going to do? Well, Wednesday morning comes, you're going to get ready early, aren't you? You're not going to get out of bed at 11 a.m. because you might get caught in your jammies. No, you're going to get ready. You're going to make sure that the house is tidy, everything's clean, the food is ready. And that's what Paul is aiming at. Paul is pointing to in verses 6 and following. He says there, so then, because the day of the Lord is coming, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Now, the idea of sober here has a number of meanings. The first idea is that one of being drunk. We shouldn't be drunk as we await the Lord's return. When I was down in Dunedin, this was a true story that happened. There was a student flat, that got burnt down. And while this flat was burning down, one of the occupants of that flat was out having a night on the town. And by the time he came back to his now burnt down flat, the firefighters had been, they put out the fire, all was damped down, and it was just a black, empty shell. And this student was so drunk that what he did is he walked into his flat, lay down on the couch in the lounge, and fell asleep. Woke up in the morning to a nasty surprise as the house was burnt down. That's not being sober, is it? That's not being alert. And it's the idea of alertness that is here in our passage as well. Let us not sleep. Let us keep awake. Let us be alert. Let us be sober. And the idea of sober has more than just not being drunk. It has the idea of self-control, of living a balanced life, of living a life of moderation, of avoiding extremes in anything and everything. It's not a life of ignorance. It's not a life of false peace and security. It's not the sleep of the world, of the children of darkness. It's not living life saying Hakuna Matata, which means, boys and girls, no worries. So what do we do? What does being awake, alert, sober look like? Well, Paul goes on to speak about that. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Doing what? Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Put on the breastplate of faith, a trust in the Lord, a trust that our Lord will return. placing all our hope and security, as we heard this morning, in the fact that our God is in control and that he has sent a Savior for us. Putting on the breastplate of love, a love for God, but also a love that displays itself to our neighbors, to our Christian brothers and sisters, to our neighbors out in the world as well. Putting on the helmet of hope, looking forward to the day that our salvation will be sight, the hope that we have of our Lord's return. It means thinking about the reality of who we are, verse 9. Reminding ourselves that God hasn't destined us for wrath, for judgment, for eternal judgment, but that we have obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. And that's a nice tidy checklist for us. Does that reflect, does that show who we are as Christians? Are we showing that we are awake and sober? What would others say as they look at us? Would they see that we've put on the breastplate of faith, the breastplate of love? Do they see us wearing the hope of salvation? Do they see us living our lives now, or looking for the life to come? I remember in my uni days again, a good number of my colleagues used to live for the weekend. And you would ask them what they were going to do. And they would say what they were going to do on the weekend. And on the weekend, what they were going to do was drink as much as they could so that they were blissfully unaware of any of their troubles. That was their weekend. And you'd come on Monday and ask them how their weekend was, and they'd say, "Oh, it was great." And you'd say, "What did you do?" And they'd say, "Oh, I have no idea. But I'm looking forward to the next weekend." Now, we look at that, and I looked at that and say, that's a pretty sad way to live. But yet we can fall into the same track, into the same trap. We can live week to week, paycheck to paycheck, holiday to holiday. We've just had a few days off for Christmas, then we've got New Year's. When's the next holiday? When's the next holiday coming for us? Waitangi, see, we know. Sorry, I put you on the spot there, dear wife. But we can do that, can't we? We live for the next break, the next time, week to week to week, instead of an eternal view of looking forward to our Lord's return, of living in the light of the fact that eternity is what it's about. That's something for us to think about as we head into 2020. And note the way that these terms are described: faith, love, and the hope of salvation. They are armor for us. They are things for us to put on to help us fight the tendency to fall asleep, to go off track, to head in the wrong direction. We should be prepared for our Lord's return. We shouldn't be surprised when he returns. But we should also be encouragers. And that's our third point this afternoon, verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Paul is summing up chapter 4, verse 13, through here to verse 11. And the message of what we've just heard, that we should be surprised, shouldn't be surprised, we should be prepared, we should put on faith, love, and the hope of salvation, is a message we all need to hear individually. But it's also a message that Paul here encourages the Thessalonians and encourages us to encourage others with. To encourage others with these words, that they need not fear the coming day of the Lord, and they need not fear this life, they need not fear 2020. Because sometimes waiting for our Savior's return can be frustrating. It's easy to give in to the slumber, the sleep of this world, to give in to sin in our own lives, the lives of others, to be weighed down with the aches, the pains of this life, the depression that we face, the illnesses that we have. Life is tough. It can be a struggle. But one of the main ways, one of the wonderful ways God has given us to help us in our struggles is something that Paul points to here in verse 11. Walking that path with someone else. Knowing that you don't walk the Christian walk alone is a help. Having someone come along to you and guide you and point you to the hope that you have is something that helps. Having someone lend you a hand, lifting you up out of the darkness and the depths. Having someone coming along and putting their arm around your shoulder and saying, "Hey, I can see you're struggling. What can I do to help?" Pointing others to the wonderful truths that we have in this passage. And not just this passage, but the wonderful truths and promises that we have in Scripture. So how about you? Paul says there in verse 11, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Are you doing? Are you an encourager? What do you think? Now, some of you here in this congregation are wonderful encouragers. Always a kind word, always a helpful word, a servant heart. But many of us, and I include myself in this, we need to work on being encouragers. How about we ask the Lord in 2020 to help us to be encouragers, to encourage each other in the faith, to point people in the right direction, to have eyes open as to where we can encourage people. And not just in the church. Because the greatest encouragement that we can give someone, the greatest encouragement that we can give someone who is a child of the darkness, is to be involved in helping them to become a children of the light. Helping them to see the light. Helping them to see that the sense of security and peace that they have is a false sense. Pointing them in the right direction of Jesus Christ, true peace, true security. For those in darkness, the day of judgment will be terrible. Day of judgment phobia is a valid fear, is a real fear that every single person on this world should have if they are not in Jesus Christ. But for those of us who are in the arms of our Savior, we need not fear. The day of judgment, the day of the Lord, will be our day. A day of rejoicing, a day to look forward to. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful promises in this world, in your word to us this evening, that our Lord is returning, that he is returning to come and take us home. Lord, help us not to be surprised. Help us to prepare ourselves in the meantime, going about your service in your kingdom, doing as Paul encourages us to do this afternoon, putting on the breastplate of faith, a trust in you, a love that grows for you, a love that grows for others, as we've already prayed for this afternoon. We pray for the hope of salvation that we have, knowing we belong to Jesus Christ, that he has not destined us for wrath, but also the hope of our Lord's return. Lord, help us to hold on to that hope. Help us to encourage each other with that hope this afternoon as well. Help us in 2020 to be known as a church, as a group of people who are encouragers. We pray this, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing now together number 445, a song that reminds us of the hope that we have, that touches on the idea of Christ being our rock this morning, but also as we look forward and as a congregation we close out 2019 reminding ourselves of where our hope and our comfort is. Let's stand and sing number 445.